Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ما دامت الكواكب تسير وبعد الحمد لله إن الحمد لله تعالى أولا وآخرة All praises are for Allah in the beginning and in the end. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his favors and his bounties. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the health and for the iman and the tawfiq he has given to us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to bless us with his special blessings in the way that he knows that is best for us. We were on the topic of Iman, speaking about Iman. And the books of Aqaid have touched a very, very important point of Iman and A'mal al-Salihah. And where it was mentioned that the difference and the varying degrees with respect to a person that one believer is more virtuous, is higher, is better than another believer. The last topic we dealt with shows that it is not on account of the fact that one has more things to believe in as a mu'min and the other one had less things to believe in. What makes a believer more pious than another one is not on account of the fact that one may believe in a less amount of angels and another one may believe in a more amount of angels, or one believes in all the prophets and the other one believes in a few prophets, or one believes in two kitabs and the other one believes in all the other kitabs. No. This is why it was a point worth mentioning where it is stated, "Wal iman wahidun." Iman is one. It's one thing. All the believers on the face of the earth are asked to believe in the same thing. Our belief in no way can be different from the belief of those who have passed before us. If, and I explained, as the scholars have explained, that if it is required from us to believe in Allah as one, to believe in his angels and his messengers and the books he had revealed, and to believe in the day of judgment, and to believe in the qadr of Allah, then just as we are asked to believe in these things, all the believers of the past were also asked to believe in the said thing. And it is this that Imam Tahawi and other scholars of Aqaid, they have referred to when they say, Wal iman wahidun, iman is one. Wa ahluhu fi aslihi sawa'un, and with respect to its foundation, in essence, all the believers, they believe in the same thing. It's one. However, a person is a stronger believer. A person is more virtuous. A person is more pious. A person is more God-fearing, as we will say. What brings that type of thing about? What brings that about? He says, "What tafadhulu bainahum bil khashyati wat taqwa wa mulazamati al awla wa mukhalafati al hawa." That difference that comes about in a person, that a person rises to a degree that he's very high in the sight of Allah, high meaning close in the sight of Allah. He has a lot of iman and he feels that strength. And this strength of iman that he has within him makes him inclined towards doing of good deeds. That tafadul between people, it comes on account of the fact that him fearing Allah is more than other people. This person having taqwa, piety and righteousness is more than other people. Him going against those things that are wrong and haram in Islam, it is better than other people. And him choosing to do all that which is the best is always better than the other person. And this is what brings about varying degrees among the believers. This is why it is on the about the same point where people who believe in Allah, the belief is one. Belief cannot be different. The belief of the believers, it is one. This is why he says now, he says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that is Imam Abu Ja'far Tahawi, and it is recorded in the books of Faqaid, the same principle, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the believers, all of them are Allah's awliya. They are loyals to Allah. They are awliyaullah. وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, and the most honored and the most noble in the sight of Allah is أَطْوَعُهُمْ وَأَتْبَعُهُمْ لِلْقُرْآنِ, is that one who is most obedient to Allah and the one who follows the Quran the most. This is what will bring a person as being closer to Allah. So what he says, all the believers, they are awliya ur Rahman, they are loyals to Allah, they are the walis of Allah. Awliya, it is the plural of the word wali, and wali comes from the word walaya or wala, which means wala, it refers to love, friendship, support. It also means protector. And these translations are used in the context which the word wali might be using. The Quran says, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the wali of all the believers. Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah is the friend of the believers. Allah is the protector of the believers. Allah is the one that provides for them. So what does Allah do? يُخْرِجُهُمْ, he takes them out of darkness and puts them into light. So because Allah is the one who looks after the believers, Allah is the one who protects the believers, Allah in this case is the wali of the believers. Allah is the wali of the believers. So wali, it can mean a protector. And wali also, as I said, refers to one being a friend. In a sense, it refers to one when one is loyal to another one, he becomes a wali to that one. So the scholars have stated, walayat in sharia, walayat meaning here becoming a friend of Allah, as Allah, you know, as it is mentioned here, the hadith also says, recorded by Imam Bukhari, man aada li waliyan faqad adhantuhu biharb. Imam Nawawi has mentioned that in his book, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا, whosoever shows enmity to mine friend, whosoever shows enmity to mine friend, فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِحَرْبٍ, then I have waged a war against such a person. I have waged a war against such a person. And then the hadith goes on to speak about many other different things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking, that my servant draws closer to me through his optional acts until I become his hand through which he holds and his feet, you know, with which he walks, ila akhirhi, until the end. But that word wali is used in that hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari. Man aada li waliyan, whosoever shows enmity to mine friend, mine wali, a person who I have taken as a friend, فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, I have waged a war against that person. So the concept of wali, It means that a person who believes in Allah, a person who fears Allah, a person who believes in all the essential elements that we as Muslims are required to believe in, that is a type of walayat and friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why he uses the word, Imam Tahawi, he uses the word wal-mu'minuna, the believers, kulluhum, all of them, awliya'ur rahman, they are the awliya, they are the friends of Allah, they are loyals to Allah, because they believe in Allah and they believe on all the other things that they are required to believe in as Muslims. However, there are degrees in the walayat, and there are degrees with respect to those who are Allah's friends, as we will say. The friend of Allah. He is the wali of Allah. This one is the wali of Allah. And Imam Tahawi indicates to this different degrees, where he says, wa akramuhum indallah, and the most honored of all of them in the sight of Allah, the closest to Allah, the one who has achieved that qurbat indallah, closest to Allah, he's pious in the sight of Allah, is the one who is the most obedient to Allah, and the one who is also following the Holy Quran in the best manner. So here he shows that you can have one who is a wali, but he is not to the degree of that one. So from among all of them, the most honored one is this person, the one who is most dutiful to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, as the scholars have mentioned, differentiating the degrees of the servants of Allah, showing the degrees of the different degrees of the servants of Allah. A person who believes in Allah and accepts Allah, he has gained a type of walayat in that he obeys Allah. So Allah is saying in the Quran, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu, Allah is the friend and protector of those people who believe. Isn't that so? So this type of walayat occurs two ways. Whenever Allah becomes the friend of believers, then the believers automatically become his friends. We understand? If Allah is the wali of the believers, as it is mentioned in the Quran, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu, Allah is the wali, Allah is the protector, Allah is the friend of the believers, alladhina amanu, it therefore means that the believers themselves will become in turn friends of Allah. So with respect to believers being believers, believing the things that they are required to believe in, as outlined in the Quran and the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an important thing we need to know in this aspect, the believers can be called wali and the awliya of Allah. This is why it is in this context Imam Tahawi says, wal mu'minuna kulluhum awliya ur-rahman, all the believers, they are friends of Allah, all of them. But there are different degrees which he now highlights. The Holy Quran, speaking about the different categories of the servants of Allah, Allah says, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَفَيْنَا, then we have made inheritors of the book those people we have chosen, min ibadina, from our servants. So Allah is saying in this ayat, from our servants we have made them to inherit the book. The books that were revealed by Allah, the scriptures one after the other. In other words, Allah is saying, min ibadina, from all our servants, we have made some of them inherit the book, inherit the teachings, that they will propagate the book, they will believe in the book, and they will continue to practice upon the book. Okay, this is the concept of awrathna and wirath, miras here. So what is Allah saying? And from among our servants, we have made inheritors of this book. We following? So the believers who practice upon it and they continue to follow it, they are the ones from among Allah's servants who have inherited. But then Allah says, dividing the believers now into three different categories. فَمِنُهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ The first category are those people who are transgressors to their own souls. But they are the servants of Allah. They are the servants of Allah, but Allah says, فَمِنُهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ From among them, there are those who have done zulm to themselves. Hafiz ibn Kathir commentating on this ayah, he says, يعني those believers who disobey Allah and they do not fulfill the laws which Allah has given to them and they do not stay away from that which is haram. So yes, they are the amd and the ibad of Allah. They are those who are Allah's servants. They are those who are Allah's servants, but yet they have transgressed against their soul. This is the first category of the ibad of Allah, the servants. وَمِنُهُمْ مُقْتَسِدْ And the other category, Allah says, and from among them, there are those who are moderate. Meaning, they are not like the first group that they are totally unjust to themselves. They do good deeds, but at the same time, they do bad deeds. So they are مُقْتَسِدْ, midway. That's the second category of the ibad of Allah, of the servants of Allah. And then, وَمِنُهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ And from among them, there are those who outstrip and outrun others in good deeds through the permission of Allah. The third category are those who obey Allah. They are obedient to Allah. They do the good deeds. They refrain from that which is haram. And the سَابِقٌ they are advancing towards good deeds. This is the third category. So this ayah itself shows us the different levels of the people with respect to their iman and walayat in the sight of Allah. There are different levels. The anbiyas are the awliya of Allah, the closest. The rasuls, the malaika al-muqarrabun, then the general malaika. Then those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says about those people who have been given ilm. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ Allah himself is saying that those people who believe amongst you and those people who have been endowed with knowledge and given knowledge, Allah himself raises them to high status. So can you imagine when Allah himself raises one to status, the status that person really has in the sight of Allah? That is a type of walayat. That is a type of closeness to Allah. Allah is saying he has lifted their status. Then Allah himself says, "Man yurid Allah," the hadith says, "Man yurid Allah bihi khayran yufaqihu fi din." Whenever Allah wishes to do good deeds, goodness to anyone, Allah gives him the understanding of deen. This is why Imam Muhammad, quoting this tradition, he said, every single one does not know what Allah intends for him, whether Allah intends good or bad for him. We cannot know that. No one knows that. Every single person does not know what Allah intends for him and what Allah has for him. But a faqih, an alim of deen, he knows what Allah intends for him. Because Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is saying, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayra," with whomsoever Allah wishes goodness, he gives him the understanding of the deen. So the mere fact that someone has been given the understanding of the deen, he's made a faqih and an alim, it goes to show that is only on account of the first part of the hadith, that Allah really wants goodness for him. Yani, the second part can only come about when the first part is there. So if you get the second part, it means you got the first part, that Allah wishes goodness for you. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهَ بِهِ قَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فَدِينَ And the prophets are among the closest, the anbiyas and the mursaleen, the rasul, are from among the closest of the awliya to Allah. They are really the awliya, the true walis of Allah, as we will say. But yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, al-ulama hum warathatul anbiya, the ulamas are indeed the inheritors, the rightful inheritors of the Prophet. So if they inherit from the prophets, they will also inherit that walayat which the anbiyas had with Allah. Because through ilm, it brings one closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why in the Holy Quran, Allah says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, He says, say, are those who know equal to those who do not know? Yani, no, they are not equal. For certainly only those people will take a reminder and fear Allah truly. The ulul albab, those people who have aqal and intelligence. So what is evident in these ayats of the Quran, plus the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that there are different degrees of walayat, and one being a wali of Allah. Some are higher, there are different levels. Higher, lower, lower. But in essence, one who believes in Allah, he does good deeds, he is a believer in Allah's sight, kulluhum awliya'ur rahman, they are all Allah's slaves, Allah's servants, and they are those people who are friends of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights about this level of the wali and awliya who will get his special blessings and favors in this world and in the hereafter. Allah says in the Quran, أَوْأَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ. Behold, the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah, la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. The friends of Allah are those people that fear will not come upon them, nor will they ever grieve. This is what Allah is saying, that the friends of Allah are those people. They are those people. La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. No fear will come upon them and no grief. And who are these people? Who are these people who are the friends of Allah? Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. These friends of Allah are those people who truly believe in Allah, and they are the muttaqin and pious and righteous and God-fearing people. Two attributes of the wali of and the awliya of Allah I mentioned here. Two important qualities that are to be found in the wali and the awliya of Allah. Wali means a friend of Allah. Awliya, it is just the plural, as I explained before. So who can become a wali? Who are truly in the sight Allah's, the awliya of Allah? Allah says, Ala inna awliya Allah. Behold, the true awliya of Allah, they are those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. No khawf and no fear upon them and no grief. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. They are those who truly believe in Allah. Who are the true believers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Indeed, only those people who are believers, who believe in Allah, believe in His Messenger, and have no doubt after that belief. No doubt is acceptable. Straight belief, direct belief, firm belief, concrete belief, no doubts accommodated. No doubts. Whether it is so or not, whether Allah really means that, whether we are going to get blessings in the hereafter or not, can these words of Allah really be true? Is there punishment in the grave? And all these different things. If I do good, will I really get good deeds? What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, will it really come to pass? Allah says, the true believers, after believing Allah, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, they are those who have no doubts after. These are the true believers. So therefore, when we speak about الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, they are those people who truly believe in Allah. Allah says, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and they are those people who fear Allah. They are those people who fear Allah, who are conscious of Allah, who do not do anything to bring about Allah's wrath or Allah's displeasure or Allah's anger. They fear Allah fi sirri wal alaniya. They fear Allah in secret and they fear Allah in public. The muttaqun are those people. There are two important things for muttaqun, for taqwa, for piety. Two important things must be there. One is imtithalul awamir wa ijtinabun nawahi. The first thing that must be in taqwa The first thing that must be in taqwa is that the person must implement all the orders of Allah. That's the first thing, the requirement for taqwa. Huh? The first requirement of taqwa is that a person must implement all the orders of Allah that Allah has given to him. Whatever Allah has commanded him to do, the believer does that. He does it. Anything whatsoever, whether it is connected to the manner of his or her dress, or the things that he eats or drinks, or the behavior, or the conduct, or the fulfillment of the rights of others, and you know, you name it one after the other. How you treat other Muslims, how you treat the neighbors, how you treat your relatives, how you treat the spouses, how you treat your parents, how the children treat each other, you know, the parents, how you treat your children one after the other. There are the awamir of Allah, the orders of Allah, the commands of Allah, how you are to behave here, how you are to behave there, what can you look at, what you cannot look at, what you can hear, what you cannot hear. The first thing in the taqwa is imtithalul awamir, implementing the orders of Allah. In implementing the orders of Allah. And the second thing in taqwa that the scholars have mentioned is ijtinabun nawahi, staying away from all sins. Staying away from all sins. Everything that is deemed as a sin in the Sharia, this is a sin, that is a sin, the other is a sin, a person must refrain from all these sins. These are the conditions for taqwa. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa kanu yattaqun, the awliya of Allah are those people who really fear Allah. They are God fearing. Sheikh Abu Lays Samarqandi, the great faqih and jurist from Samarqand, very great scholar of the past, he has recorded the statements of many of the great scholars in the past, where they have stated that if a person, and when a person has taqwa, then that taqwa that he has in his heart will become apparent in all the different parts of his body. Once a person has taqwa, it will become apparent in all the different parts of the body. It's just like when a person is a believer. The fact that he's a believer will make him conduct himself in a certain manner. The fact that he's a believer, because he has iman. And if he has iman, he has to fear Allah. So if he has iman, and he is inclined to doing something, he will say, no, Allah has made that haram, so he wouldn't go. So the iman in the heart corrects his action. So similarly, they have mentioned, for example, when a person has true taqwa, they have that quality of being God-fearing, fearing Allah, then it is clear, it is seen on their tongue. What they talk about, what comes on their tongue, from there you will identify whether they really fear Allah or not. They will avoid from backbiting and slandering and all the other sins that are connected to the tongue. It will become apparent. Their taqwa will be seen from their tongue. Their taqwa will be evident from the eyes. Where do they look at? Can a person have taqwa but yet at the same time continue to disobey Allah with the eyes, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has said in the riwayat quoted by Imam Bukhari that the eyes also commit fornication. The eyes also fornicate, and the fornication of the eyes is when you look at those things which Allah has made haram. If you have taqwa, your taqwa will also become evident from what you put in your stomach. If a person continues to eat that which is haram, drink that which is haram, earn a haram livelihood, earn a livelihood that is mixed with haram, and consume those things that Allah has made haram, then he has no taqwa because he does not fear Allah. Where the feet walk towards also, it will show whether you have taqwa or not. How can a person be a muttaqi and God-fearing, but yet he goes to such and such places? How can a person be a muttaqi, but yet he steals with his hand? The taqwa which is in the heart, it brings about a change in the entire body. It is about this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself says, Allah,
inna fil jasadi mudghatan idza saluhat saluhal jasadu kulluhu wa idza fasadat fasadal jasadu kulluhu ala wa hiya al qalb.
He says, behold, there is a portion, there is a part, there is a limb, there is a piece of flesh in your body. If it is good, your whole body is good. And if it is bad, the entire body is bad. Behold, it is the heart. And it is the heart in which there is the taqwa and there is the iman and the marifat of Allah. So it is very clear, my dear respected brothers and sisters, if we have true iman and taqwa and piety in our hearts, then all our limbs will follow the dictates of the heart, because the heart is the king of the body. The heart controls the entire body. Whatever actions we do, those thoughts are first processed in the heart, and it sends a message on the tongue to say this. It sends a message to the eyes to look at this. It sends a message to the ears, listen to this. And all the limbs of our body continue to be haram, because the part of the body, the part of the flesh, is corrupted with sins and with evil and with the darkness, and there is no light of iman. So the only message the heart can send to all the limbs of the body is bad messages, corrupted messages, which will only bring down and bring about the destruction of that servant of Allah. So وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And the awliya, those people who truly fear Allah, they truly fear Allah. Ibn Hajar Asqalani has written about it, and many scholars have written, Imam Razi have mentioned about this also ayat. He says it shows that a believer, he does not only have the knowledge of the theory, he does not only have the knowledge of what is haram, what is makruh, what is reprehensible, what is abominable, what is dislike, but it is essential upon that believer to become a wali of Allah that he becomes practical about the things he knows. He knows that is haram, stay away from it. You know that is haram, stay away from it. When the theory, it translates into the practice by the individual, this takes him to the degree of walayat in the sight of Allah, and he becomes a friend of Allah. He becomes a friend of Allah. This is why Imam Bukhari has quoted a beautiful statement of a tabi in his book, in Kitab al-Iman. He says, the thing that will bring about taqwa the fastest, in the fastest manner, it is to practice upon the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tabi is saying this. He says the thing that will bring you faster to the taqwa and closeness and, you know, inculcating taqwa and piety in your hearts, it is that a person should adopt the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Da' ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk." Leave off everything that is doubtful to you and go towards that which has no doubt in it. Subhanallah. How can a person can ever go wrong and disobey Allah when he practices upon this? You want to say something, but you are thinking, you know, you are doubtful. Is this good for me to say? Is this bad for me to say? Will I get sin for saying it? Will I get blessings? So you are doubtful, leave it off. But you will never get sin if you say something good. So say something good. Leave that which is doubtful upon you to that which is not doubtful upon you. He says this is the fastest way of taqwa. All your actions, question yourself. Do you have doubt in it? Are you settled with it? Do you think that it will bring about dangers to you? If you think that these actions and what you do and what you say and how you conduct yourself and how you behave, if you feel that these things are doubtful and they can bring about the azab of Allah and the wrath of Allah, then da' ma yuribuka, leave it out immediately. Leave it out. What should you do instead? Ila ma la yuribuk, go towards that which you have no doubt about. And in those things which brings about Allah's pleasure and Allah's love, and bringing a person closer to Allah, to becoming a wali of Allah, obviously there will always be no doubt in those things, because these things are not filled with sins. So it is about describing, Allah himself describes who are the awliya. Alladhina amanu, those people who truly believe. They truly believe. Wa kanu yattaqun, and they really and they truly fear Allah. A person once asked Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, he says, explain to me in a manner that I can understand, what is taqwa? Explain to me what is taqwa. Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, Have you ever walked through a path where on both sides of that narrow path there are trees that have thorny branches, and the thorns are filled in the branches? The person said yes. He said, tell me, what did you do? He said, well, I had to take one step at a time. And when I reach one step, I had to pull my clothing so it will not be pricked by the thorn. Then when I walk the other step, I have to pull myself away so that my body will not be touched by the thorn, by the thorns. And in this way, I had to go very, very slow, taking one step at a time, being mindful of the thorns not pricking me. He said, well, that is taqwa. That is taqwa. What does he mean? In a layman's term, he was explaining the man what taqwa is. That in this world, you have to live so careful, and you have to be so alert of the haram and the wrong things and the fitnas and the prohibitions, that you have to take it one step at a time. And when you do something, you have to be mindful whether you have disobeyed Allah. Check back. Pull yourself away from the haram. Pull yourself on the other side from disobedience to Allah, and you live your life in this manner. He says, this is taqwa. So a very, very important thing. So based on these two things, it goes to show us, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, that when we speak about walayat, gaining Allah's friendship, becoming close to Allah, becoming muttaqi, it cannot be that a person disobeys Allah openly, but still he's muttaqi. He does not do what Allah has ordered him to do, but yet he claims to be muttaqi. He claims to be a wali. He may do the good things, but he's not staying away from haram things. He's getting himself in unlawful things, but yet he is a wali. It cannot happen, because Allah mentions two conditions. One is alladhina amanu. First, you must truly believe in Allah. And remember the discussions we had about true belief in Allah, which refers to belief in the qadar of Allah, in the predestination, in destiny, and all these things. These are from the usul and the foundation of belief in Allah. And the other one is wakanu yattaqun. Very important. Then, who are the most noble from among all the awliyas of Allah? Everyone may say that, well, I am Allah's friend, and I am Allah's servant, and I am a believer. Wal mu'minuna kulluhum awliya ar-Rahman. All the believers are the awliya and the friends of Allah. Imam Tahawi makes a very, very important point here, which is recorded in the Quran itself by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah himself says, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most honored and the most noble in the sight of Allah amongst all of you is that one who is the most pious and God-fearing. Who is the most pious and God-fearing? Who will reach that level of taqwa to gain that high rank of becoming Allah's wali? He says, وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And the nearest and the closest and the most noble and the most honored of all the awliya and the friends of Allah to Allah, the best among all of them now, the best among all of them now, it is who? أَطْوَعُهُمْ. The one who is most obedient to Allah. The one who is most obedient to Allah. وَأَتْبَعُهُمْ لِلْقُرْآنِ. And the one who follows the Quran the most. This is the one who is the most noble among all the believers in walayat and friendship with Allah. When one is the most dutiful to Allah, he disobeys Allah not, in no way. He's always obedient to Allah, even though he has to go against the dictates of his nafs. Even though he likes something, but it is against Allah, he obeys Allah and he puts his own desires aside. Even though other people, his friends and families, are pulling him towards something, and he knows that if he disassociates himself from that, they will become angry with him, they will not talk to him. Even in that case, he pulls away only because he gives priority to the hukum and the law of Allah. He is ready to do that also. So the first condition of the one, of that one who is the closest to Allah, is atwa'uhum, from the word ita'at, the most dutiful and obedient to Allah. He is always ready to obey Allah. He is always ready to be dutiful to Allah in each and every single thing, even though it is against his nafs. even though it is against his inclinations. وَأَتْبَعُهُمْ لِلْقُرْآنِ, and the one who follows the Quran the most. This is a very, very important thing, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters. It goes to show us the true walayat, because the topic is about awliya ur-Rahman, true friendship with Allah, and becoming a true pious and righteous person. It lies where one obeys the commandments of Allah. You cannot reach there, as we say, close to Allah, except that you obey Allah. The first thing. We obey Allah. He is our creator. He deserves our obedience more than every single thing on the face of the earth. More than every single thing. If we have to disobey the whole world, including our parents, in order to please Allah, we have to do that. That is how obedient we have to be to Allah. No one takes that position, my dear respected brothers and sisters. No one. And if anyone takes that position and we obey others above Allah, then we have to check our iman and faith in Allah. We have to ask ourselves the question whether we are really believers or not. Allah is the one that takes first priority. First of all, we have to be obedient to Him. So atwa'uhum, yani the first condition for being close to Allah, you know, and having that friendship with Allah and that closeness, is the person must be obedient. Obeying, following, fulfilling the commands of Allah. And the other one is atba'uhum lil Quran. Why did the Quran come? The Quran came down so that people will follow it. We then cannot go against the teachings of Allah and hope to achieve friendship and closeness to Allah. We cannot go against the teachings. We cannot leave out the teachings. We cannot disbelieve in certain verses. We cannot fail to practice in it. We cannot show it to be insignificant and turning our backs against the Quran day in, day out, and yet claim to be God-fearing and close people. It cannot happen. وَأَتْبَعُهُمْ لِلْقُرْآنِ. No, you must be the best follower of the Holy Quran. And by saying this, Imam Tahawi has drawn in front of us what is the media of reaching close to Allah and becoming God-fearing to Allah and becoming a wali of Allah. What? You obey Allah. You obey Allah. How do you reach and achieve closeness to Allah? How do you get this taqwa? Be obedient to Allah. Bas. Be obedient to Allah in the way that Allah has given to us His commandments. Follow the Holy Quran, and you will be akram indallah. Because those who are fully dutiful to Allah and they follow the Quran, they are really the muttaqi people. They are those people who fear Allah the most. So, it's a very, very, very important point. So we cannot choose a path wherein it is stated that we'll become the friends of Allah and pious people, when in that path it contradicts the teachings of Allah and the teachings which came from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لا يمكن هذا. This is not possible at all. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the greatest of Allah's Rasul, the most beloved of Allah, and in his way which he has given to us will also make us most beloved to Allah. If there was any other way, Allah would have surely given it to his Rasul. So whatever the Rasul has been given by Allah and he has given to us, we can close our eyes, lock our hearts, and believe this is the best and nothing better than this. Because if there was anything better, he would have gotten it. Having said this, Imam Tahawi concludes the topic of Iman and all the different passages he was speaking about Iman. And he concludes that to kind of, you know, remind us where our Iman must be. What we are speaking about, Iman, Al Iman Wahidun, Wa Ahluhu Fi Aslihi Sawa'un, Wa Tafadulu Bainahum Mil Khashyati Wa Taqwa Ila Akhri, until the end. So he says, what is Iman? He says, Al Imanu, Iman is Huwa Billah, to believe in Allah. All the things we have described already, to believe in Allah. وملائكته and his angels وكتبه and all his books ورسله and all the ambias واليوم الآخر and the day of judgment والقدر and to believe in the qadr. To believe in the qadr, to believe in the decree which we have discussed, khairihi wa sharrihi, the good of it and the bad of it, wa hulwihi wa murrihi, and its sweetness and its bitterness, min Allah Ta'ala, all these things are from Allah. Sometimes qadr can be sweet for you when times are going good, when everything is going good, and sometimes qadr can be bitter when things are not going good. But our aqeedah and belief as Muslim is the hulw, the sweetness of the decree of Allah. When it comes, it is from Allah. And the bitterness when it comes, that is also from Allah. So when we are enjoying good times, subhanallah, it's from Allah. And when we are not enjoying good times, and we are going through difficult times and trials and difficulties, let us know that that is also coming from Allah, min Allahi ta'ala. These are coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes further. Another topic that the books of Aqidah has touched. We have spoken in the past about we cannot call a person who commits a sin, a major sin, we can't call that person a kafir. That is the position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. A person commits a major sin, you cannot call him a kafir. You can't do that. That is when he's alive. Now, what the next step is, what is our belief and our position about when these people who have committed major sins, when they die, where are they going to go to? Deviated sects in the past, like the Mu'tazilas and the Khawarij, we have mentioned about them, who opposed and went off. They believe that a person who dies in a state where he did not make tawbah, or he did not, recite the kalima back and came back a Muslim, but he dies where he had major sins with him, he will remain forever in the fire of hell. He will remain forever in the fire of hell. Our position, as established from the teachings of the Holy Quran, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming down from the generation of the Sahabas, the Tabi'in, and downwards, it is that Imam Tahawi says, "Wa ahlul kaba'iri min ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi an-nari la yukhalladuna idha matu wa hum muwahhiduna." He says, and the people who have committed major sins from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be in the fire of hell, yes, on account of the sins they have committed. La yukhalladun, but they will not remain forever. They will not remain forever. But the condition is when they die in a state that they believed in the oneness of Allah, إِذَا مَاتُوا وَهُمْ مُوَحِّدُونَ. When they died in a state that they believed in the oneness of Allah, yani they were believers. وَإِن لَمْ يَكُونُوا تَائِبِينَ, he says, even though they did not make tawbah to Allah, still they will not remain forever in the fire of hell. Still they will not remain forever in the fire of hell. بَعْدَ أَن لَقُوا اللَّهَ عَارِفِينَ, after they have met Allah, recognizing Allah to be their Lord and their Creator, and casting that belief upon Allah. So the first point is that many people commit major sins. Muslims, we are speaking about, they die, they have not made tawbah, and they believed in Allah, they were Muslims, read janazah upon them. Our belief is that these people will not remain in what? Jahannam, in the fire of hell forever. But according to the teachings of the Quran with respect to Allah's adl and His justice and His fairness, people who do bad will have to suffer consequences in the fire of hell. And those who do good and their good deeds are more than the bad deeds, then they will be given entrance into Jannat in paradise. So when people die as Muslims and they commit major sins, then they are not going to remain in the fire of hell forever. Now, after meeting Allah, how will it be? He states, for whom? وَهُمْ فِي مَشِيَتِهِ وَحُكْمِهِ. Now, these people who have committed major sins, they are entrusted to Allah's law and Allah's decision. Yani, whatever Allah wishes for them, then they are subjected to that now. They are fi mashiyatillah, they are in Allah's wishes. Yani, whatever Allah wishes for them, He can do, and the decision He's going to make for them. In sha'a ghafara lahum wa 'afa 'anhum bi fadlihi. If Allah wishes, Allah may forgive them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can overlook their faults and their sins. And if He overlooks their faults and He forgives them, that is on account of Allah's grace that He extends to them. So yes, a person can. He may have committed major sins. He died as a Muslim. He did not make tawbah. Allah alone knows his state. Allah knows exactly what he did on the face of the earth. He goes back to Allah. This person is subjected to the rule of Allah. If Allah wishes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive him, overlook his faults. That is up to Allah. Just as Allah says in the Holy Quran, in the Quran itself it says, وَيَغَفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah may forgive, and Allah can forgive anything besides shirk. Shirk Allah will never forgive. But anything that is lower than shirk, Allah may forgive. لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, to whomsoever He wishes. That is for Allah. That is Allah's decision to make. If He does forgive, it is an account of His fadl and His grace and His generosity and His kindness to a servant of Allah. Then, while He may forgive a person, He may also take a person to task. وَإِن شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُمْ فِي النَّارِ بِعَدْلِهِ. And if Allah wishes, He may punish in the fire of hell anyone who has committed a major sin. Anyone who dies as a person who haven't committed major sins, Allah may punish him in the fire of hell. And if He chooses to punish, that is on account of Allah's justice. So in other words, an important thing that is highlighted here is that Allah may look at a sinner and forgive him his sins, and Allah may look at another sinner and punish him. Then you will get blessings, wa alayhim, and they will get the punishment and the sin. Yani alayhim khata'uhum, upon them they will have to suffer the consequences, because you didn't do anything wrong. You were forced to obey them. You were forced to do what you are doing because they are your leaders. You have to obey them. So he said, it's a very important point that we see that it is permissible to perform salat, and that is the position that we all hold because we follow the creed and the doctrine of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaat. And we will also perform salat upon anyone who has committed a major sin and he dies and we have to perform janazah, which goes to show Muslims should not develop the habit that I can't perform salat behind him. In a way, a person is portraying himself to be a more muttaqi person and righteous person to that person. But yet, sometimes we have so many faults, but it is only seen by Allah because we keep it hidden from mankind. While we condemn others, sometimes it is within our own selves. And we develop this attitude of showing, you know, more taqwa and piety. Oh, I can't perform salat behind him because he did this and this and this and this. You know, sometimes a person passes away also, and you say, nah, I can't go to that janazah. You know, that man used to do this and that man used to do that. But it's al-qidah, it's the person's last right. Make dua for him. We don't wish bad for him. What did Imam Tahawi says? As for those people who have done bad deeds, nastaghfiru li sayyihim, we make dua of istighfar to Allah for them. Oh Allah, forgive them. They have lived their life. They have gone ahead. No one likes punishment for anyone. Why should we like punishment for another one? We don't like people like punishment for us. We will die one day and we'll ask people, we will wish that people make dua to Allah for us to forgive us and make istighfar for us. So yes, we, the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, we will perform Salatul Janazah for such people. And the point about Kabair, wa Ahlul Kabair, brings us to a question of Kabair and Sagair. Sins that are major sins and sins that are minor sins. What are major sins and what are minor sins? Many different scholars have given opinions about what are the major sins and what are the minor sins. However, one of the most accepted opinion of what is a major sin, they have stated, a major sin is such a sin. It's such a sin upon which a penalty and a punishment in this life has been recorded, has been mentioned. If a person commits theft and he steals, his hand will be cut off. If you fornicate, you will be given strokes. If you drink intoxicants and consume intoxicants, you will be given strokes. If you commit adultery, this will happen. If you do qazaf, you lay false allegations and accusations against a spouse where you cannot prove it. Hadul qazaf, all these things. So wherever Allah has laid out a punishment to be given in this world, that sin about which that punishment is mentioned is a major sin. A punishment about which Allah has promised the fire of hell, that if you do this, you're going to go to the fire of hell. That is a major sin. A sin about which it is mentioned and recorded in the Hadith or the Quran that Allah's wrath, Allah's anger will come about that person. That is a major sin. A sin which, when committed, brings about Allah's total displeasure and dislike. That is a major sin. These are major sins. And the minor sins will be those where there is no penalty in Islam, like had the punishment and the penal code in Islam, which books have discussed about, you know, like stealing and zina and fornication and all these things. Nothing is mentioned about it. That's a minor sin. There is no fire of Jahannam to enter for committing that sin. That is a minor sin. There is nothing mentioned that Allah's wrath and anger will come upon you if you commit it. That is a minor sin. No wa'id, no stern warning. That is a minor sin. So with this division, it becomes very easy for people to identify what are major sins and what are minor sins. This is what is recorded from Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. It is recorded from Sufyan bin Uyayna alayhi rahma, and also from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal alayhi rahma, the division between major and minor sins. Major sins are grave sins. Without tawbah, nothing is accepted by Allah. You make tawbah to Allah, Allah will forgive. So therefore, this part of the, you know, the aqidah topic, the topic of aqidah, it deals about how we treat people who may commit major sins, how we behave with respect to them. You know, do we perform salat behind them? Do we perform salat on them when they die, etc.? Those things have been cleared up, and this position is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. At the same time, he says, وَلَا نَنْزِلُ أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمْ تَحَاوِي وَلَا نَنْزِلُ أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ جَنَّةً وَلَا نَارًا. We are not going to descend any one of them. That's the literal meaning. It means we are not going to consider any one of them with firm yaqeen and firm. Can that other sinner who is being punished say, oh Allah, you are unjust and unfair? That person committed the same amount of sins that I committed. You forgive him. And you send me to punishment. No, a person cannot say that. Because when it comes to a person's kindness, it is up to an individual to show his kindness to whomsoever he wishes. First of all, a person can deal with adl and justice and fairness. And the requirement of fairness is that you be fair to everyone. And fairness here is that if you had done wrong, you reap the consequences of your wrongdoing. That is fairness. So if Allah allows anyone to reap the consequences of his wrongdoing, then that is fair. Allah is just being fair with them, because that is what he told them in the Quran. That if you wish to do wrong, do it, but the fire of hell awaits you. So he has warned them. He has sent his ambiance to warn them. And he has outrightly mentioned that if you do wrong, you will be punished. So it is fair now that if you do wrong, you will be punished. That is fairness. But a person's fadl, a person's grace and kindness is something that will extend to whomsoever Allah wishes. And there is no law of fairness there that, well, you deserve to be punished, so you must be punished. No. Since nothing is wajib and essential upon Allah, Allah may choose to forgive whomsoever he wishes. But if he wishes to take the task on account of his fair dealing and his just dealing, he can take anyone to task. That, so one side is his fadl and the other one is his adl, which Imam Tahawi had spoken about. Everyone is between Allah's fadl, his grace and his adl. So that person is between here and there. If Allah chooses to punish him, then he will punish them in the fire of hell. But that is on account of bi'adlihi, his adl. Then what will happen? ثُمَّ يُخْرِجُهُمْ
ثم يخرجهم منها برحمته وبشفاعة الشافعين من أهل طاعته.
Then Allah will take out the people who had committed major sins on the face of the earth. Allah will take them out of Jahannam through His mercy. Only through His mercy, and also He may take them out from Jahannam and the hellfire on account of the intercession or by the intercessors of those people who have done good deeds. So therefore, as we have mentioned under the chapter of Shafa'at, the prophets will be given the allowance to intercede. The righteous people will be given the opportunity to intercede. They will be given the okay and the consent to intercede. Martyrs will intercede. Scholars will intercede. Huffaz of Quran will intercede. Many different categories of people will intercede. So here 2 points are mentioned. That as for those who committed major sins, but they died as Muslims. They committed major sins, but they died as Muslims. They will not remain in the fire of hell forever, but Allah will surely take them out one day from Jahannam. And He may either take them out from Jahannam through His mercy and nothing else, not even the intercession of others. Only through His mercy He will take them out, and it has been mentioned in different traditions. And He may also take them out on account of the intercession made by other people, Anbiya's and the Sulaha and the righteous people. They will beg Allah to release them. Allah will do it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may take them out. The hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari itself says, وَيُخْرَجُ مِنَ النَّارِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. He says, and taken out from Jahannam will be a man in whose heart there is the extent of a mustard seed, or the weight of a mustard seed of Iman. In other words, that was all the Iman he had. And we have probably seen a mustard seed, so we can assume the weight of a mustard seed. So which means that is all he had, and he had a lot of bad actions. But yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he will come out from Jahannam. So it means, لا يخلدون في النار. He will not. A believer will never remain forever and ever in the fire of hell. But how long would that person remain? Allah alone knows that. May Allah save us from that. And after taking him out from Jahannam, ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُهُمْ إِلَى جَنَّتِهِ, then Allah will send them to Jannat. Allah will send them to Jannat. Another important masala that Imam Tahawi touches, which also is recorded in the books of Aqidah, it is with respect to performing salat behind people who may commit sins. You know, often we hear, even in our times, I can't perform salat behind that person. I can't perform salat behind that person because this person is like this, and that person is like that, and that person is like the other. That person commits sin. There is a position of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat. The position is about how do we view people who are believers and Muslims, and they have committed sins, or they commit sins, and they are leading salat, and we join in that salat. Do we walk out from the musalla? Do we walk out? No. Tackling this point, he said, the aqidah of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat, wa nara salata khalfa kulli barrin wa fajirin min ahli al-qibla. And we consider the permissibility of performing salat behind every doer of good, every pious and righteous person, and also behind every sinful person from Ahlul Qibla, from the Muslims and the Mu'min. That is our position. وَعَلَى مَنْ مَاتَ مِنْهُمْ. And we consider it permissible to perform janazah salat upon such person who may also be a sinner. Who may also be a sinner. So two things he has mentioned here. That if a person happens to be performing salat, and that person is a person who may have committed sins, committed a major sin, and he is leading salat, then yes, it is permissible for us to perform salat behind him, and it is not permissible for us to go away and form our own jamaat, thus creating tafriq, division, disharmony, disunity in the gathering and in the jamaat. Okay, it is permissible to perform salat behind such person. Obviously, a righteous person, we perform salat behind that person. No one has a problem. But when it comes to fajr, now fajr refers to a person who disobeys Allah. Fajr refers to a person who disobeys Allah. if a person now has corrupted beliefs about Allah and his angels and his malaik, the anbiyas, and on the day of judgment, and his belief takes him out of Islam, you wouldn't call him a fajir, you will call him an unbeliever. If a person believes that there is one Allah in the heaven and there is another one on the earth, this is shirk. هذا هو الشرك. If a person believes in Allah as a Muslim and he denies the azab and the trials of the grave, he is not a Muslim. If a person believes in Islam but he denies all the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following the group of the munkirin al-ahadith, those who deny the ahadith, then he is not a Muslim. If a person believes in Islam but he says that the Quran we have is not the true Quran, and rather than 30 Jews there are 40 Jews, he's not a Muslim. We can't perform salat behind such a person. He's not a fajr, he's outside Islam. He's kharij an al-Islam. If a person is a Muslim, he believes in Allah, but he believes that there is another one who came as a prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this is against Islam, so he's an unbeliever. So we have to differentiate now. We have to differentiate between the word that is used, fajr, and the word that person whose beliefs itself had taken him outside Islam. Obviously, we can't perform salat behind that person. A person who disobeys Allah. Similarly, the scholars have written about people who may do and practice innovative actions. The innovations can be in their actions and the innovations can be in their aqidah. As for those whose innovations have taken root in their aqidah, and their beliefs are corrupted, and their beliefs are not right with respect to the teachings from Allah and the teachings of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, attributing divinity to anbiyas, attributing divinity to probably the children of the anbiyas, attributing divinity probably to the angels, then it means that this also is not proper, because the aqidah and the belief is corrupted. This is why the word that was used there by Imam Tahawi and other scholars is a fajr, one who disobeys Allah. So it has nothing to do with his aqidah is right, but he is just disobedient to Allah. He may not totally obey Allah. He may do haram things. So he's a fajr. Salat is permissible behind him. Imam Bukhari has recorded tradition where Abdullah bin Abbas, Abdullah bin Umar, Anas ibn Malik used to perform salat behind Hajjaj bin Yusuf. And everyone in Islamic history knows he was fasik and zalim. He was a fasik and he was a zalim. He was a tyrant ruler. They performed salat behind him. Okay, there is a riwayat which is recorded by scholars of hadith that say, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, "Sallu khalfa kulli barrin wa fajirin." Perform salat behind every righteous person and every non-righteous person. Many scholars have made kalam upon the riwayat, and because of its dhaaf and weakness, they have not accepted it. However, Imam Muslim, the student of Imam Bukhari, and the great scholar of the hadith who has a sahih compilation, he has taken this hadith to establish that masla, that it is permissible to perform salat behind a fajr. He has used that hadith. So it shows that he has some i'timad and reliance on the hadith. Besides that, Imam Bukhari has mentioned a tradition where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to some of the sahabas, Anas ibn Malik has narrated and other sahabas, there will come to you certain umara, certain leaders will come upon you. They will disobey Allah. Sometimes they will perform salat out of its time. They will do many things. And you will perform salat behind them. Because if you don't, then they can imprison you. So perform salat behind them. That's your duty. They are your leaders. Perform salat behind them. فَإِنْ أَصَابُوا فَلَكُمْ. If they do it right in the proper manner, you will get your blessings and they will get what they have to get. وَإِنْ أَخْتَعُوا. But if they make a mistake and they do it wrong, conviction of the heart that this person is going to Jannat and this person is going to Jahannam. We are not going. Yani, that person who is barrin. Barrin means a dutiful person. An obedient person, bar. If a person is bar, a person is righteous, and he passes away, we cannot say that he is a jannati. A point which we have discussed already, and he brings back this point because he speaks about these two categories of people, Bar and Fajr. So because he spoke about Bar and Fajr, the doer of good and the doer of bad, you know, he reiterates the point that when these people die and you have to perform salat upon such person, you can't say this person is a Jannati. This person goes to Jannat. Neither can you say this person is going to Jahannam on account of his deeds. He may have committed many sins, but yet you cannot say the person is going to Jahannam. وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِكُفْرٍ وَلَا بِشِرْكٍ وَلَا بِنِفَاقٍ مَا لَمْ يَظْهَرْ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Then he continues to say, we are not going to bear witness. A very important point. If we want to follow the sacred creed of those people who held on to the teachings of the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, which came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then this is what we have to hold on to, because this is the creed of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. If we have to hold on to that, then we cannot testify to anyone of those people we have just mentioned, yani the Fajr and one going to Jahannam who may perhaps go in Jahannam. We're not going to say that they are kafir. وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِكُفْرٍ. We are not going to make shahadat and testify they are with kufr. We're not going to do that. وَلَا بِشِرْكٍ. No, are we going to call them mushrik and say that they are mushrik and they are pagans and they are polytheists? We are not going to say that. وَلَا بِنِفَاقٍ. No, are we going to say they are munafiq and hypocrites? This judgment is for Allah. They commit major sins, they are Ahlul Kabair. Okay, they are Ahlul Kabair. Let them be bayna fadlillahi wa adlihi, between the grace of Allah and between Allah's fairness. Let Allah deal with them now. They have gone. As for us who are down here, whether the person is alive or not, are we going to go about calling this person a kafir or a mushrik or a munafik and say that person is a munafik? No. As long as they do not demonstrate any one of these things to us, we cannot say that. But if a person does actions that are associated with kufr and shirk, then you can't call him. If he demonstrates actions of this nature, of kufr and shirk, then you can't call him as a believer. A believer, you will call him that which he associates. But we have to be careful. And if a name has to be used, you have to be sure that that is his belief. He has rejected Allah, so you call him a kafir. Or he's worshipping more than one Allah, so he's a mushrik. Or really he's a munafik, based on those things that are mentioned in nifaq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was invited by the Sahabi who is known by Idban ibn Malik. Idban ibn Malik, he used to be an imam in a masjid. And he started to become, you know, his sight started to become weak. And you know, when he had to go to the masjid, he had to pass the valleys, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "O Prophet of Allah, I'm an old man, my sight is going down, and you know, when rainfall, the flood waters come up and I can't go to the masjid, so I'm unable to go to the masjid to lead them in salat again. I want to make a little place in mine house as a masjid, yani the salat room. But I wish that you come in mine house and you perform salat first of all, and where you perform salat, that's the area I'm going to take as that place." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Sa'afal, inshallah I will come." The next day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up, he took Abu Bakr and he went. And they went in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed salat in the place, and they made a little meal and prepared a little meal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sat down with them. As soon as they sat down, one person from the crowd was asking for another person from the tribe. He says, "Aina?" He says, "Where is Ibn Dukhain? Where is Ibn Dukhain?" You know, some rewrites give a different name. Or Ibn Dakhan. "Where is so and so?" So when one person, Sahabi, asked, "Where is so and so?" Another one came up and said, "You're asking about him? Zalika munafikun." He's a munafik. He's a hypocrite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Don't say this about your brother." He says, they said, "But we see his inclination with the munafiq. He's always hanging out with them, as we say in our language, he's always liming with them, associating with them." The Prophet says, "Ala tara, don't you see that he said, La ilaha illallah, yabtaghi bihi wajhallah? Don't you see that he said, La ilaha illallah, hoping the pleasure of Allah through this recitation? Don't you see that?" When he said this, hoping for the countenance and the pleasure of Allah, then you can't call him a munafiq. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reprimanded them, and he took them to task for calling such a person a munafiq. So it goes to show that people who have become habitual in using such words, we have to be very careful. This person is a kafir, and that person is a mushrik, and that person is committing shirk, and this person is like this. We have to be very careful how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. This is why Imam Abu Hanifa said, he said, if there are 99 reasons that are to be found in a person to tell you he's a kafir, and there is one reason to tell you he's a believer, then take that one reason, say he's a believer, and do not take the 99 reason to call him an unbeliever. It is such a very, very serious matter in the sight of Allah. Allah is the only one who can make that judgment. We can't see a person's heart. Allah can see the heart. So this is a very important thing that he mentions, that we do not see and we do not testify to the kufr and the shirk and the nifaq of anyone. As for what they may do internally, as for what they may do secretly, and the type of life they may live when the public eyes might not be upon them, their secret, as we say, Imam Tahawi says, our behavior and conduct as Muslims should be وَنَذَرُوا سَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. We will leave all their secrets to Allah. Let Allah deal with them on that case. Don't spy with people. Don't spy. Don't send someone to see what this man is doing, where he is here. Don't try to find out when this person is at home, what he does. What did this person trying to find faults? Sending people to listen what he or she is saying. Sending people to pry into the private matters of people, because you want to make a judgment on them. He says, no. First of all, we are not going to use words to describe those people, even though they are Ahlul Kabair. Okay? Committing major sins. As for their secrets, whatever they do in their privacy, whatever might be hidden from other people, وَنَذَرُوا سَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. We will leave all the secrets to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave it to Allah. Let Allah be the judge. Because we are only ordered to judge on the apparent, and Allah knows the batin. Only that which is clear to us. You can't see through the heart. You can't see through a man's heart as to who is lying. Both people come to you, each of them is saying opposite thing. One is a liar, but you don't know who is the liar. You don't know, because it's one against the other. What is clear, you have to judge on that. Wallahu ya'lamul batin, and Allah knows that which is secret and hidden. And it's the same thing, وَنَذَرُوا سَرَائِرَهُمْ. We leave their sarair, and we leave their private matters, and the matters that are hidden and concealed, we leave it to Allah. وَلَا نَرَى السَّيْفَ عَلَىٰ أَهَدٍ مِّنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ السَّيْفَ. And we will not consider it permissible to fight any one of the Muslims, any ummati, any follower. We will not consider it halal to take his life. We will not consider it halal to kill him. No, we will not do that. وَلَا نَرَى السَّيْفَ عَلَىٰ أَهَدٍ مِّنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. We will not do like the Khawarij of the past, who have placed judgment upon many, many different tabi'in and sahabas, and considered this one a kafir, and made his blood halal, and have executed them, and sent people to kill them. No, we will not do that. But we have to be very careful. The Holy Quran has spoken about whosoever kills a believer intentionally. The ahadith have spoken about that. So he says, no, the doctrine and the belief and the attitude and the conduct of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that they will not encourage fighting against Muslims. They will not encourage that. They will not consider it halal to kill another Muslim. They will not consider it to wage war against that, except that person upon whom it has become wajib. For example, there are the penalties in Islam. A person who commits highway robbery, fighting and killing people all over the... So a life for a life. He shall be killed in return. A person who commits adultery, which is the law of all the scriptures coming to every prophet, the law of Moses, the law of Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam, the law revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, it's the same law of adultery. You know, a person's life will be taken. And you have these penalties that are in Islam. So when a person commits an offense that requires that, then yes, it is wajib upon him. But besides that, we will not say that his blood is halal and his blood is halal and we have innocent Muslims being killed. No, we're not going to say that. Whatever issues may come between the people, we are not going to allow politics or any other thing to make us reach a stage where we are going to wage war against our brother Muslims. We're not going to do that. This is why Imam Tahawi mentions that وَنَتَّبِعُ السُنَّةَ وَالْجَمَاعَةَ We will continue to follow sunnat and jama'at. Sunnah, it means a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the word sunnah has different meaning based in the context in which it is used. When the scholars of aqidah use the word sunnah, it has a different implication. When the scholars of hadith use the word sunnah, it has a different implication. And when the scholars of fiqh use the word sunnah, it has a different implication. And when the scholars of tariqh and the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam use the word sunnah, it has a different meaning. So therefore, when the word sunnah is used, sometimes it can refer to the actual action of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he do? How did he do it? And sometimes, like by the fuqaha and other scholars, when the word sunnah is used, it refers to the general teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether he did it or not, but if he had given consent and permission to another sahabi to do it, that also, it falls into the word sunnah, referring to what? His teachings, his blessed teachings. So, وَنَتَبِعُ sunnata, we will follow the teachings of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is how we have to be as Muslims. We will follow the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we shall follow. Wal jama'ata, and we shall follow the jama'at, yani of the sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who were upon haq, who were upon truth, who did the correct thing, who followed the messenger of Allah, whose rulings were in accordance to the teachings of Islam. We will follow them. We will follow whatever they have done. So in this way, we'll follow sunnat wal jama'at. Sunnat wal jama'at. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a riwayat, he says, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسَيَارَى اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. He said to the Sahabas, for certainly, whosoever from amongst you live after me, he shall see a great amount of divisions. You will see a great amount of divisions. People dividing. Everyone has a different group. People are divided into many different groups. So he says, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. Upon you is to hold on to my sunnah. Upon you is to hold on to my sunnah. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ. And upon you is to hold on to the practice of my sahabas who have been guided. تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا. Hold on to it. Hold on to it firmly. وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِزِ. And grip on to it with the molars, with the teeth, the strong teeth. Grip on to it. The Ashab al-Sunan, all the scholars of the Sunan books of Ahadith, they have recorded it. And amongst them, Imam Tirmizi has recorded it, and he has considered the hadith Hasan. With هذا حسن صحيح. This hadith is Hasan. It is good and it is sahih. So therefore, from that riwayat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about following his sunnah, holding on to his teachings, and also the sahabas, the jama'at. In another tradition, recorded by Imam Tirmizi also, where Imam Tirmizi himself has considered this hadith to be sahih. Sahih. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the people of the past of the Ahlul Kitab divided themselves into 72 sections. And my Ummah will divide themselves into 73 sections. All of them but one will go in the fire of hell. قِيلَ مَنْ هِيَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The Sahaba said, who is that one sect, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. That sect and that party amongst whom I am in them,
Yani I am within them. They follow my teachings and the teachings of my companions.
So following the sunnah wal jama'at, it is very, very important. Extremely important.
And this is what he's bringing before us. At the same time, when we follow that, he says, وَنَجْتَنِبُ الشُّذُوذَ وَالْخِلَافَ وَالْفِرْقَةَ.
And we will refrain from deviations. We are not for deviations. We will not take a new party and go on the right side, and take a new party and go on the left side. We will not go into deviations. وَنَجْتَنِبُ الشُّذُوذَ. And we will refrain from deviations. وَالْخِلَافَ. And we will refrain from partitions. Parting from the group. Parting from Muslims when they are upon the haq and upon the right. We're not going to do that. وَالْفِرْقَةَ. And we will refrain from what? Divisions. Muslims dividing themselves. Everybody has a new thing. People have a new this and a new that. Everybody is bringing about something new. We wouldn't do that. We follow the trend which continued to exist from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coming down from one generation to another generation, which were always in the majority. So we are following them. So that is what we are upon. The Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, we're going to follow them. And the people who follow the creed of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat will never fall to deviation. They will not fall for partitions, and they will not fall for divisions and unity. And we are all speaking about it because we all belong to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. And this is the creed we uphold. And this is the creed that our ulamas uphold, whom we have studied from among our mashaykh and our akabir, and those who strengthen path, and their teachings we adopt. And the Darulum has based its teachings on the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. And these teachings we are giving out, it is to let you know also what you and I, all of us, are supposed to adhere to, believe in, and also to know very well that when criticisms are made and things are said against ulamas and against the Darulum and many things going away from the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, it is really not so. It is nothing but doubts. It is nothing but assumptions. It is nothing but zunoon, doubts that people have and thoughts. Allah rightly says in the Quran, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Refrain from much from what? Dhan. This dhan that you bring about. Why? Because many times the thoughts that you bring about, it is nothing but sin. So the assumptions that you may cast about people, about ulamas, righteous ulamas, who have given their whole life for the sake of the deen of Allah, for anyone to use one opinion which may suit him to say so and so is like this and this institution is like this, it is nothing but fabrications and false allegations. And obviously we do not have a system where a person may be taken to task for that, but we leave such people in the hands of Allah. Allah is the best of judges, wa ahkamul hakimin, and he is the fairest of all judge in all, you know, in giving people fair dealings. And we entrust everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing very well in our hearts that what we believe in, it is the truth. What we preach, it is the truth. What we stand upon, it is the truth. And it is conforming to the teachings that came down from generations to generations from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is not in opposition to anything. We are convinced that this is what is with us, and whoever may say any other thing, we leave such people to Allah. Allah will deal with them. And may Allah protect us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the right path. Inshallah, we will continue next week. Wal akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.